You're at 39,000 feet, 6 hours into a 12-hour flight across the Pacific. The captain just unbuckled, stood up, and disappeared behind a door you didn't even know existed. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar today. We're pulling back the curtain on one of aviation's worst-kept secrets, the crew rest compartment. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, so let's get into it. Is it true that long-haul pilots sleep in secret bunks during flights? The short answer is yes. And not only is it true, it's required. Here's what you need to know. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, and virtually every civil aviation authority on the planet mandates rest periods for flight crew on ultra-long-haul operations. We're talking flights that exceed 8 hours, sometimes pushing 16, 17, even 19 hours on routes like Singapore to New York. No human being can remain sharp at the controls for that duration. The regulations recognize this, and so do the airlines. The way it works is straightforward. On flights requiring augmented crew, meaning 3 or 4 pilots instead of the standard 2, the crew rotates through rest periods in a dedicated compartment hidden from passengers. One pilot rests while the others fly, then they swap. The timing depends on the airline's fatigue risk management program and the total flight time, but a typical rotation might give each pilot somewhere between 2.5 to 4 hours of bunk time on a long crossing. Now, where are these bunks? That depends on the aircraft type. On the Boeing 777, the crew rest area is typically above the main cabin, accessed through a locked door and a narrow staircase near the cockpit. It's a small compartment with usually 6 to 8 bunks, curtains for privacy, and climate controls separate from the main cabin. On the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, it's a similar setup, tucked above the forward cabin. The Airbus A380, that double-decker giant, has crew rest areas on the upper deck. Some older aircraft, like the Boeing 747, had rest areas behind the cockpit or in the upper deck crown space. The headline doesn't tell the whole story when articles call these secret bunks. They're not secret in any meaningful sense. They're just not advertised to passengers because, frankly, the traveling public doesn't always react well to learning that one of their pilots is asleep. But the alternative, a fatigued crew trying to muscle through a 17-hour flight on willpower and coffee, that's far more dangerous than a well-rested pilot rotating back into the seat after a proper nap. Let me give you some context on why this matters from a safety standpoint. Fatigue has been implicated in numerous accidents and incidents over the decades. The crash of Colgan Air Flight 3484 in 2009, while not a long-haul operation, put crew fatigue squarely in the spotlight and led to sweeping changes in duty time and rest regulations in the United States. The FAA's Part 117, which took effect in 2014, overhauled flight time limitations and rest requirements specifically because the science on fatigue was unambiguous. Tired pilots make mistakes. Period. For long-haul operations specifically, the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, sets baseline standards that member states adopt and often strengthen. The European Union Aviation Safety Agency has its own flight time limitation rules. Every major aviation authority agrees on the fundamental principle. Crew must have the opportunity for in-flight rest on extended operations, and that rest must happen in a space that allows actual sleep, not just sitting upright in a passenger seat with a curtain around it. Now, some of you general aviation pilots listening might be thinking, well, that's nice for the airline guys, but what about us? And that's a fair point. Part 91 operations don't have the same prescriptive duty time rules. You're the pilot in command, you're responsible for determining whether you're fit to fly, but the underlying science applies to all of us equally. Your body doesn't care whether you're flying a 787 or a Bonanza. Fatigue degrades performance the same way at any altitude and in any cockpit. The FAA's guidance in Advisory Circular 117-3 lays out the science of fatigue in a way that's accessible to any pilot. The key takeaways are this. The circadian rhythm is real and powerful. Your body wants to sleep between roughly 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. local time, and again in the early afternoon. If you're flying during those windows, you are fighting biology, strategic napping before a flight, proper sleep hygiene, and honest self-assessment are your tools in general aviation since you don't have a bunk upstairs and a relief pilot to swap with. Back to the airline world for a moment, the quality of crew rest compartments has improved significantly over the years. Modern crew rest areas on newer aircraft feature temperature control, reduced noise and vibration, individual lighting controls, and in some cases even small personal entertainment screens. Airlines invest in these spaces because the return on investment is clear. Better rested crews perform better, have fewer incidents, and frankly, last longer in their careers. There's also an interesting distinction between flight crew rest and cabin crew rest. Flight attendants on long-haul flights also have designated rest areas, often in a separate compartment from the pilots. On some aircraft, these are below the main deck, accessed through a hatch in the cabin floor. On others, they're overhead compartments similar to the pilot bunks, but located further aft. The principle is the same. Everyone working that flight needs adequate rest to perform safely. This affects you if you're a passenger too. By the way, next time you're on a 13-hour flight and you see only one pilot in the cockpit during cruise, don't panic. That's by design. The other pilot or pilots are getting the rest they need so that when it's time to brief the approach, configure the aircraft, and land, they're sharp. You want them rested? Trust me. One more point worth making: controlled rest, sometimes called strategic napping in the cockpit, is a separate but related concept. Some aviation authorities, though not the FAA, explicitly permit one pilot at a time to take a brief nap in the cockpit seat while the other pilot monitors. This is distinct from the bunk rest I've been describing. It's controversial in some circles, but countries like Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia have provisions for it under specific conditions. The FAA has studied it but has not formally authorized it for Part 121 operations in the United States, though there's ongoing discussion about whether that position should evolve. The bottom line is this: the system works. Augmented crews, dedicated rest facilities, and evidence-based fatigue management have made long-haul flying remarkably safe. The next time someone tells you with wide eyes that pilots sleep during flights, you can tell them yes, and thank goodness they do. Sources today from Simple Flying and the FAA's Fatigue Management Guidance, more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly rested or don't fly at all.